We have been studying Bhagavad Gita in these weekly classes for now over 3 years, and we have come to the 8th chapter. Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, therefore it is called Ashtadashadhyayini in Sanskrit, means the one that has 18 chapters, and it is this, the chapters gradually progress from certain very basic desires that we have, and then go on having gradual sublimation of those desires, merging of those desires into higher and higher needs of us as human beings. Human beings, we live at the physical level, and there our desires or our our personality isn't very different from animals. In fact, as one beautiful Sanskrit couplet says, that it is a great blessing to the other beasts that we don't eat hay, otherwise it will be very difficult. Otherwise, except for that, there isn't much difference between us and the other cows and other animals, that they eat hay, we don't, so that's at least hay is left for them. So the idea is, at the physical level, our personality is just as it is said, that ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha, that like other animals we also eat, we also sleep like they sleep, then they also procreate, we also procreate, and nothing very different to or differentiate between human beings and them. But there is one very special thing where human beings differ from the animals, and that is the sense of purpose, sense of goal for the life. What should I be living for? What should be the purpose of my life? I am living, I am breathing. But well, yes, this is the machine that is going on. But what for? Where is the destination of it? And that is where the animals and human beings make much difference. Human beings want to lead a progressive life on whatever they understand, according to their understanding. Animals, if you see the animal life, if they are given enough to eat, enough that fairly okay this place to live in, and the chance to procreate, they are perfectly satisfied. They don't seem to need or need to change the place. They are happy. A cow put in a cow shed and give the cow to eat, the cow is quite okay. Doesn't want to explore what is there on the moon and like that. It is human beings, they explore because that is that dissatisfaction, what Socrates calls a divine dissatisfaction. That it is that dissatisfaction that tells us that this is not all. You have tremendous potential to realize something higher. Look for it. And that is how human beings progress. And in Bhagavad Gita, we have been seeing that gradually, by ascending to different levels of our being, we see that the progress is not just happening on the physical level. There is a psychological dimension to it. Then there is a spiritual dimension to it. And there is a wonderful idea that is being explored even at the level of this science, physical science, that just as you have IQ, intelligence quotient, IQ. But our brain is not all our personality. our intelligence is not everything. We have emotions, and that also play, in fact, a greater role than our brains. Our brains work according to our emotions. Brain just shows us how those emotions can be practicalized or executed. The brain shows the path, that's all. So, more than IQ, EQ, emotional quotient, you know, that is, you can find emotional quotient, EQ. Apart from IQ, one has to find EQ, emotional quotient. And then SQ, spiritual quotient, that how your perception about yourself, at what level do you see yourself, what do you consider about yourself, that is an important idea, that who you are, what do you think about who you are. And that is a very important thing for human beings. Who am I? That search begins very seriously when one, to some extent at least, transcends the physical and psychological plane. Transcending these planes, then you come to the level where you feel that you are different from your body and your mind. You are the user of these two instruments. Your body is kind of hardware. Your mind is kind of software. Just to give a familiar analogy for the, almost everybody these days uses computers. So this analogy kind of explains things, that it is the user of the computer is different from the computer. So this is a kind of computer. It has a hardware loaded with a program, a software. But who is the user? And for what purpose is this machine? That question is the real beginning of spiritual journey. And here we see in the 8th chapter that Lord is giving this advice that you have to feel that the divine presence. You have to see that that is really what you are. And how to get at that? The 8th chapter is more about the practical methodology. The theory has been expounded earlier in the 7th chapter, that know that God is really the source of everything. Why should you aspire for God has been told, that whatever you are really seeking in life is there with God. And so if you realize God, if you experience God, if you become that, feel that sense of oneness with God, then whatever you are seeking, you get it. And this having been told, now comes the question that how am I to get there? If you are told that, well, if you go to some place in Florida, you will get lot of joy, lot of fun. And suppose you agree that, yes, I should go to Florida, then comes the question, how to get there? So that is now being tackled, that the most psychological path, there are various ways one can go. But the one that is psychologically more suitable, that one has to be chosen. The wisdom lies in choosing the path of least resistance. The same thing that is the principle in all our life, and in fact in the whole world, the path, choosing the path of least resistance. It is said nature chooses the path of least resistance. And that is wise, is it not? Why unnecessarily choose the path of more resistance and reduce your chances of attaining it? and let us conserve energy, use the path of least resistance. And the least path of least resistance is C, where our mind automatically goes, and then attach that with God, so that that will give us the pull, and that is considered path of devotion. Path of devotion is very efficacious, very helpful psychologically to tie us with God, like something to which the mind goes automatically. For example, something that is very beautiful, you don't have to say that, well, let my mind go there. Since you see that as beautiful, the mind goes there automatically. Mind starts thinking of it automatically. Now, therefore, see God as the most beautiful, the source of all beauty. It is actually so, not that you are imagining. God is the source of all beauty. Everything that appears to be beautiful here is because of the reflection of God in it. It is, otherwise the thing is drab, useless. It doesn't seem to be beautiful. In fact, it appears to be very ugly. It is, whatever, you know, a person, for example, you feel that very beautiful, he or she is so beautiful. Well, does he or she appear to you beautiful every minute, every time? No, sometimes doesn't appear to be very beautiful. Sometimes, yes, very beautiful, sometimes not. So what does it mean? If you think, you will see that it is the beauty is not its intrinsic nature. It is a reflected something. Like you see something in the mirror, if it is in front of the mirror. If that thing is moved from there, then you won't see it in the mirror. So it is as long as you see the reflection of yourself there, then you feel it beautiful. As we give that nice example, all mothers think that their little ones are the most beautiful in the world. It is, a mother was going to take child could not take the tiffin box, got up late, and so the lunch box could not be taken by him. So the mom said, okay, I will carry it to you in the school. You go now, the bus is going, you go to school. Then later on I will pack and get for you. So then when the mother packed the lunch box, she was about to go. And then another neighbor, that lady, she also was going to the same school for the same purpose. So she said, well, I can take that box to your child, your son, but I don't know, I don't recognize your son. How is he? Can you describe him? And this lady said, well, it is very easy to recognize him in the school. He is the most beautiful child in the whole school. And that lady refused to agree with it. He said, no, 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 my son is the most beautiful one in the school. Because it is as it is mine, you know, I get reflected in it. And therefore, you love it. Anything mine, you love it. Now, so because I get reflected, that I actually is the divine sitting in us. Whatever gets connected to it, that therefore becomes beautiful. See, people like to look at their face, you know, so nice, go and stand in front of the mirror. So how nice it is. It is, as long as it is mine, it is very beautiful. You don't hate yourself. Somebody was telling me many years back, and he had an old car, kind of rickety, discolored and all that. And He was going to take me somewhere, and he said, "Look, what a nice car. It is my car. Don't know, not a single word will be tolerated against it." Although it is making all sorts of noise, the seats are not really very good, all the upholstery is gone bad, but then it is my car, so very beautiful, say, excellent. So as long as it is mine, it is very nice. My dog, our one devotee comes here, "My dog is the best dog in the world." If you say that the other dog, "No, that dog is nice," but you will agree, she is not as nice as my so-and-so. So my Gwenny is the best one in the world. So it is, my becomes most beautiful. How is it? It is the connection with God. And that is why God really is the source of all beauty. All that is we look for, all bliss actually comes from God. There is no other source of happiness. And therefore, a wise person, if you want to realize, to get this beauty, if you want to get happiness, go to the source of happiness, and that is God. And the methodology was described that meditate, pray to God in that form, and thus you will realize Him. One has to do it for a long time. Lord says that it is use a formula, a mantra, and Om is the best of the mantras that gets associated with many other mantras, but Om is the sound of all sounds. It symbolizes all sounds, contains therefore all different sounds, and therefore all different words, and therefore all different things. This whole universe is therefore manifestation of sound. This is a great idea. It is sometimes there is a particular school, and very important too, that you just think of the sound and then you reach God. Nada yoga, they say. Nada means sound. Yoga means the path, joining, path of joining with God. So nada, sound. Think of the sound, and then you go to the origin of the sound. And that is, sound becomes deeper and deeper. Like you utter the name of someone. Just take the ordinary some name, say John. John, the word uttered by mouth. Before that there is the John word at the subtle thought level. That is also the sound, but at the finer level. Then there is at the still finer level, which is where it is not differentiated. It is, but it is not separately seen. It is a very beautiful different science. I had discussed it in some other lectures, that how the sounds, they become more and more manifest, grosser and grosser. And also, accordingly, the content or the representation of that sound also becomes grosser and grosser. Like the John sitting there, if I don't utter the word loudly, he won't respond loudly. If I say only in my mind, that his name, his mental form will come in front of me. Because as the level of sound, so is the level of the that which is represented by that sound. So when you go deeper, everything really is merged with God. God is the source of everything. And so you go deeper, then you get connected through every sound with God. And therefore that importance of Om, because it contains all different sounds. This whole universe is compressed in this great sound. And so, Lord said that, think of me, remember me with this sound. And thus what will happen? It was told that the practical, tangible benefit was told, you will escape from this storehouse of suffering. This world is storehouse of suffering. We sometimes do not want to look at it like that. We feel, well, maybe I am suffering right now because of too much of snow and winter, but let the spring come and it will be all happiness. It will be all so nice. There will be all happiness all around. Well, that doesn't happen like that. Every existence has its own problems, own issues, and therefore this world has actually, by its very constitution, there is no happiness there. It is a mirage. You keep on struggling towards it, thinking that tomorrow you will get it. If you analyze your experience, you will see that happiness that one thinks of lies only in the expectation that, wow, I will eat the ice cream. So you feel happy about it. Yeah, I will. Then in what happens, you start eating ice cream. It just from the beginning of the mouth, it goes on rolling down the stomach, maybe creating problems in the stomach. That's all. But that idea was only an expectation that I will get happiness from it. It is in this world there is no such thing. But if you realize God, then there is no dearth of happiness. So Lord says that you will escape this imprisonment in this terrible place of suffering. You will, otherwise there is no chance. This is the only way you can get rid of it. Vedanta tells its goal right in the beginning of the many of the Vedanta texts. Shankara explains that the purpose of Vedanta is to free us from this suffering, complete freedom from the suffering, that dukkha nivritti, atyantika dukkha nivritti, a total cessation of the suffering, and paramananda avaptischa, attainment of the supreme bliss. They are not really two things. The one thing expressed in two ways. Our true nature is bliss. We don't have to import it. It is with us. But there is a hindrance of this ignorance, because of which we suffer. This hindrance makes us labor in this world of sufferings. No escape here. You can go to any place. There is no escape. You may think that this is all mechanized society. There is no life here. Let me go into some little southern American country. Let me live in the mountains of Peru, and then there will be so much freedom and happiness. Well, you will see the people there, they keep on scrambling to come to United States so that we will be very progressive. It is somebody here dreams of going there, somebody going being there starts of thinking here. I received a nice email some days back that somebody came to stay in Massachusetts in August. and was thinking, wow, what a nice place it is, what a nice lake, what beautiful park, and I just can't wait to see how beautiful this lake will look when it gets covered by snow. And then that person thinks, oh, what a beautiful this fall colors all around, so beautiful, and these deer, they look so nice. What a the most beautiful animal. And then that person has to, you know, rake the leaves. Oh my goodness, when is this falling of the leaves going to stop? It is said that, oh, wow, it is a good exercise. It is a nice exercise in the free, this thing, in the air, open air, good exercise. But then feels the trouble of it after a little while. And then, oh my, when is this fall season going to be over? I can't wait to see the snowflakes now. And when the snow starts falling, no end of the trouble there. Oh, it is a very nicely written email that first is calling it, oh, beautiful. This is just heavenly. How the nice these trees with this snow, how beautiful it looks. And a little shoveling gives nice exercise. Very good. And then after a couple of weeks, diary says that, oh, this white shit falling again. So it's like that. There is no end of suffering here. You can change the place in the hope of getting something better. It just I hope, that's all. But wish that should make us introspect, that why are we getting cheated again and again in the search of happiness? Why are we getting cheated again and again? One feels, well, let me get the dream girl of my heart and I will be all happiness. Or let me find that boy who will just is so beautiful and so nice, and then my life will be all sweet and honey. These dreams get shattered very quickly, and then what remains? The drudgery remains. Thinking that way, maybe after some day, if I get more money, then the life will be all happiness. You go on living in hope, thinking that, well, yes, once my kids are well placed, then I will be happy. I have no worries altogether. Then let my grandkids be all well placed. Then I will have no worry in the world. It never happens. So you keep on just waiting and waiting and waiting. Only escape is there. Hold on to the truth, the God, the source. And then the whole scenario changes, friends. Believe me, whole scenario changes very quickly. That your journey becomes then towards the actual source, and you start feeling it right away. That yes, that bliss of the truth, the freedom of the search of the truth, you start experiencing it as you go along. So Lord says in the 16th verse, that otherwise in this world there is no hope. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna mam upetya tu kaunteya punarjanma na vidyate. Those who know, all the worlds, O Arjuna, including the world of Brahma, are subject to recurrence. But after attaining me, there is no rebirth, O son of Kunti. Otherwise, he says that even if you become the greatest being, Brahma, that is, there is a beautiful idea. that what is Brahma, they one may think growing in this world, you know, this in this life it is of I am just working as a laborer here, no happiness. Let me become a king and then I will gain all happiness. If I become the king, I will have all the power and thus I will be very happy. Everything will be at my command. And Brahma, you can picture as the king of the whole universe, the soul of the entire universe. Soul in the sense, just as you know, we feel that my soul is in the body here, and then therefore you govern this body. You say that this is I. Now imagine that being for whom this entire universe is the body, and that is called Brahma. Just to give you an idea, that you know, like inside your body there will be many, many bacteria, trillions of them maybe. Each of them has a soul, a being. Now just as they are all dependent, those all souls are included in this soul of you. Similarly, imagine that being in which all of us, the sun and the moon and the stars, all they are like tiny specks, tiny bacteria. That being is Brahma. Even if you become that, the Lord of this this thing, this material creation, still no escape. You again will have to come back because you have not broken the bond of ignorance. So what to speak of your becoming some big shot in this world? It is not going to make you any happier. In the childhood we had that nice story in the book, a very illustrative story, that there was one stone breaker guy who used to break the stones. And in the hot sun he was breaking the stone and found that, oh, this scorching sun, I have to suffer under that. Lord, make me that. Why don't you make me that sun? Lord said, okay, fine. And the fellow became the sun and was shining his effulgence, his glory everywhere. But then found that, well, something is blocking my this shine. What is it? Saw a big cloud. Lord, what is this? Why don't you make me a cloud instead of this sun? Lord said, okay, fine. It become, that fellow became a cloud and thought, wow, very nice. But at one place found that it was getting dragged against its own will. What is it? A big wind. A breeze is making that cloud go. Oh Lord, what is this? I am just a slave to this breeze. No happiness in being a slave. Make me this wind. Lord says, fine, okay. And then becoming wind, it started blowing around, just toppling everything, making the telephone poles fall, the trees fall, and was rejoicing in that, reveling in that all destructive things. And then it started hitting one object, is not moving at all, and got this, what is it? It was a big mountain. Lord, that mountain is more powerful than me. Why don't you make me that mountain? Lord said, okay, if you want to be. And it became a mountain. And then after a little while, it got a painful blow. What is this? Oh, somebody is breaking the stone. Who is that? Lord, why don't you make me that stone breaker? Well, you are that already, you see. That is what our problem is. You know, think that, well, if I become, you know, I am a junior teacher, if I become senior teacher, that will be so good. I have a temporary job, if it becomes a permanent job, and then all problems of life will be solved. It doesn't work like that. We have the problem-making mill right inside us. You know? So it keeps on bringing up new problems. It is, and unless if you remove that, there is no escape. Even if you become the biggest shot in the universe, that is this Brahma. Brahma is this ruler, the creator god. He has the job of execution, so is considered the architect. Brahma is has the job of making these things, designing everything, and then getting the all job done. Is a kind of a project manager of the whole this creation of the universe. So that Brahma also has an age, and therefore that fellow also ages. And then is subject to death. And then another Brahma takes the place. It is again, there is no escape for this Brahma also from this Dukkhalaya, the storehouse of all sufferings. And therefore, the only thing that you will not have to be reborn is joining with me. Lord says, I am ever present. There is no birth for God, and therefore there is no death either. There is no place that the God is not. That is the all-pervading reality. So, when you join with that, then you have no rebirth. You don't have to go and come back. Otherwise, it is all same thing. Over and over again, getting born, living for some time, and getting the blows, getting buffeted like a, you know, tennis ball being hit from this end to that end, and so you lead that kind of life, thinking that at least death will bring escape. No, again rebirth, come back again to suffer the same round, same cycle over and over again. Because as long as there is that ignorance, the death doesn't solve any problem. People feel when that is how many commit suicide, when the problems are overwhelming, the mind feels terribly bogged down, sees no escape, feels that less. So if I die, then the problems will be solved. No, you get another body and the same problems you work again there. There is no escape. In fact, since you destroyed your good machine premature, without actually properly getting another machine, it becomes more difficult. So, therefore, the idea is that don't come back, hold on to God. That beautiful hymn of Shankaracharya therefore says that otherwise it is all repetition. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. That again and again birth, again and again death, again and again coming out through the womb. And well, this whole universe is very difficult to cross over. This prison, you have no escape unless you hold on to God. So, therefore, says Bhaj Govindam, Bhaj Govindam. Oh, hold on to God, pray to God, think of God. And then you get liberated. You hold on to that which is free and you get freedom. You hold to that which is bound, you get bound. The matter is bound by laws. There is no freedom for matter. The body is matter. When one identifies with matter, then there is no freedom there. It is bondage. Being identified with body means identifying with matter. I am so much of flesh, so much of blood. Is it that we are? But if that is the awareness that I am this skin and this flesh and these nerves and so forth, then, well, you are that matter, bound by laws. There is no escape if you are that. And therefore one has to learn to look deeper. Am I that? No, I am not that. This is just an instrument, and let me use this instrument properly to get rid of the need for the instrument. And thus the idea is going beyond body. If you do that, then only there is no birth, no rebirth for you, because the body, need for body is transcended. Buddha, at that stage where he got into that state of knowledge, Buddha is the name of a state, the state of wisdom, state of the total knowledge. That is the meaning of word Buddha. So the truth has awakened. Therefore, it is in English sometimes it is translated as awakened one. The one who is now awake to the truth. So, when Buddha got that enlightenment, then he says, now I have seen what was putting me in bondage. He tells that ignorance, kind of personifies the ignorance and says, now you cannot build another house for me to bind me. I have destroyed all the material with which you were making this prison house for me, and I have now known your secret. You cannot catch me unawares again. So, a very big, very nice statement there. So, that is the only way, friends. Let us not look for the impractical, meaningless and wrong ways to attain to the truth. It is, we spend lot of energy in trying all the foolish methods of getting happiness in this world, and then tired, just become frustrated, and then start praying. So, why not start it before that? It is, do we have to really go through all this intense suffering? And that too again and again? Okay, once I have made mistake, I should learn from my mistake. Why should I go on repeating the mistake again and again? The fellow put the, finger where that open electrics, this thing was there, some work was going on, and got a shock. Somebody was there, asked, hey, what did you do? What happened? The fellow said, no, nothing, I just put my finger there, oh, again. So, fellow, you had it once, did you not learn from the first experience? Do we have to put our finger in fire again and again? At least let us not do that. We have enough experience of this world, have we not? It is therefore good to see the truth and say that enough is enough. Lord says that, look, the Brahman, that Brahma, he has a big life, that's all, long lifespan. But the time scale also is longer, that's all. You say that Brahma lives how much? Millions of ages. It is called here that thousands of eons. This is time calculation there, it is given in details here. The 17th verse. Sahasra yuga pariyantam ahariyad brahmano viduhu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidho janaha. Those who know Brahma's day that lasts for 1,000 yugas are knowers of day and night. The 1,000 yugas, yuga is a meter measure of time. There are debates about actually how much time it is, but it is a big, big time. So our day and night, 24 hours, very small we feel. But suppose I am not getting sleep, then the night doesn't go at all. Seems that, it is, you wake up again and again, see, I slept at 10 o'clock, I thought it is now 4 o'clock. No, it is just about 12 o'clock. You sleep again, try to sleep, do not get sleep, wake up again, must be morning by now. No, it is just 1 o'clock, doesn't go. The time is like that. It is, the Brahma's night is 1,000 aeons. And Brahma's day also is 1,000 aeons. 1,000 aeons awake, 1,000 aeons asleep. So that is a big time span, that's all. Just as when you wake up, all the names and forms, they start making their presence. You were asleep, you didn't know at that in the sleep that you have to go to work at 7 o'clock, you have to catch the train at 6 in the morning. You wake up and then you hear the buzzer, wake up, I have to start quickly. And then you get ready, the things start becoming real then. All forms start appearing and making their impact on you. And when you finish your work and all that, come back, and then lie down on the bed, finishing your work, all those forms subside as if they are gone. So, this whole universe, when Brahma sleeps, what happens? Then this whole universe subsides. And all this, these galaxies, stars, moon, sun, everything is shut down. And when the Brahma wakes up, all this creation again starts buzzing around. So this is, the time scale is different, that's all. That therefore it is, as a joke it is told, that this Brahma got very pleased with somebody who was praying to him and asked that, ask me a boon. Now this fellow was trying to be too smart, so he said, give me your one penny. I don't want much, just your one penny will do. Thought that he, Brahma's one penny will be, millions and millions of dollars here. So just one penny, not much, your one penny. So Brahma taught a lesson to him, saying that, just wait, my 1 second, not your one, my 1 second. So that would be many lifespans for this fellow. So it is like that. It is, the time scale differs. Like for many, many tiny, these amoebas, their whole process of living, and getting born, growing, having progeny, and then getting sick and getting dead, died, is in 1 second. Everything is what we call our 1 second. That is all finished there. So many of all these processes, because their time scale is different. Not that how do they, we need not say how quickly they may accomplish all this. Well, they are living in a different time scale, and therefore that time is like a big time for them. What is 1 second for us is like our 100 years for them. They live the life of their 100 years. So, like human beings, we live our 100 years, they live their 100 years. So, similarly, Brahma lives Brahma's lifespan, which is very big, but the scale also is correspondingly big. When you have a picture, say, for example, a small picture of an ant crawling on, say, a candy. Ant crawling on a candy. Now you magnify the candy, the whole picture you magnify, the ant also becomes big. Not that only candy becomes big, the ant also correspondingly becomes big. So it is only expansion of the whole thing, and then the basic problems remain just the same. It is only magnified or contracted. So there is what Lord is telling, there isn't much point in becoming that. It is, he therefore says that in the 18th, that we discussed that already, but I will read the verse and the meaning of 18th and 19th. Avyaktad vyaktayas sarva prabhavantyah ragame ratryagame praliyante tatraiva vyaktasanyake bhutagramasya evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratryagame vashapartha prabhavatyah ragame. From the unmanifest, all manifested beings are born at the advent of Brahma's day. And they, at the approach of Brahma's night, they get merged in that very thing called the unmanifest. That very multitude of beings being born again and again is absorbed at the approach of night. O Partha, at the approach of the day is born again in spite of itself. So you don't have a choice in that. Just as if you get up and say go to Boston, the bacteria inside you won't be able to say that I will remain in Providence, I don't want to go to Boston. It has no choice but to go. So similarly, what Brahma does, we all have no choice there. It has to happen. This happens. This creation and destruction, they will go on without considering whether we want it or not want it. But the escape is to hold on to God, that which does not change. That is the reality of everything. And then you escape this terrible play. So we shall continue to discuss that in our next class. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
I have two questions. If Brahma is the soul of the universe, but when Arjuna saw Krishna's true form, he seemed to be the whole universe. So what is the difference?
The difference is that Brahma also is only a manifestation, not the reality. The Krishna's true form is not this universe of name and form. This universe of name and form also resides in him. Without, he is without any change.
And the other thing is, if God is true beauty, but God is also everything, then wouldn't God also be the source of ugliness?
That is a good question. That if God is everything, and then God is, why God is then the source of all beauty? Is God not the source of ugliness? Who made the ugliness? Actually, ugliness is non-seeing God. When you don't see God, what you see is ugliness. There is no other source of ugliness. It is the non-perception of divine. That is the source of suffering. That is the source of ugliness. It is not that it has a separate entity. That is where, you know, Vedanta differs from some of the religions who have to have two different entities like the God and the Satan. It is Satan created that all, the devil created every those bad things, you know. That is, all the bad things are created, attribute them to that Satan, and good things to God. So we do not say, because then again the problem comes logically, then why did God make this fellow Satan? Or if the Satan is powerful by himself, then God has no control over it. So God is not then the Almighty. If the God has no control over Satan, then that God is not an Almighty God. So therefore, even many Christian theologians like made that nice philosophy for the Christianity? No, after all. Aquinas. Yeah. Thank you. This Saint Aquinas, he therefore gave this idea to resolve this philosophical problem. The same, that the sin or Satan is non-perception of God. So that is how you can resolve it. Otherwise, these two entities, one controlling good, another controlling bad, and then you have the question, who is controlling both of them? So, therefore, there is no such idea that there is ugliness, a God of ugliness and a God of beauty. No.
But wouldn't you go beyond beauty and ugliness if you go beyond all beauty?
That is the, therefore, the relative beauty is always ugliness. It is the obverse and reverse of the same coin. That is what I was telling, that what is at one moment appear to be very beautiful, that snow appearing very beautiful at one moment, at another moment that snow turned to be out to be very ugly. In Himalayas, when I went there first, that's so beautiful. I went to there and so much charmed, and I asked the people there, "Oh, you are so lucky that you get to stay here all the time." They said, "Oh, stop it! We love to go to. We are tired of living in these hills. We go whenever it is. We get a chance. We go and spend time in the plains." So those who live in the plains, they come here to see the beauty of the mountains. And those who live in mountains, they get tired of the mountains. So it is the obverse and reverse at the relative level. Every beauty at the relative level is ugliness just on the reverse. It is the two sides of the same coin. But you transcend this relative and you reach the source of beauty. That is not a relative beauty. It is the beauty, say B capital. Yes, George? Well, I didn't get the question. Ahimsa, yes, ahimsa, non-injury, the principle of non-hurting, ahimsa, yes, that is, again, it has its level of non-injury. At the highest level, you do not separate yourself from anything, and therefore, you cannot injure anything. That is the highest level of ahimsa. That you are the whole universe. Just as you cannot think of, you know, giving a big hit on your own nose and making it bloody. You don't get that hurtful feeling about yourself. So when you see everything as your own self, then there is no enmity, no feeling of hatred, and you reach there, the true ahimsa. Till then, we have to practice it by feeling that that prayers and feeling, and trying to implement, as Jesus said, that love thy neighbor as thyself. That idea of service and love that will gradually make us come to that level. Yeah. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namani Yani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.